Welcome back to Certified Beef. Me and Brandon are back. Talk conference championships, but also in other sports world, Minnesota Twins news, trades, other stuff like that. Talk about that a little bit since that's been going on, and then obviously get into Book It With Beef later. Brandon, you got more on the Twins and what they've done recently. So what you got there, Brandon?
Yeah, we're going to start. We're going to leave the big trade for the end, but we're going to start. First off, we're going to go with Chris Paddock agrees to a 3-year contract extension. What do you have to think about that?
Confused. I don't know. I guess because he's going to be out like most of the or half of the season at least because of that Tommy John. I think he's supposed to be out. I don't know how long Tommy John lasts and when he got it. So
it's usually a year, and he got it pretty early in the season. So
but he's still going to miss partially part of the season. But I mean, I guess his stats were all right. I don't know. I don't know baseball enough to talk about this, but I. Get good. I guess it's better than what we had at starters, like in our back end of the rotation when he left. He's definitely better than what we had there. So I guess not a bad thing to lock up a guy for 3 years to maybe solidify a 3 or 4 spot in the rotation. I don't know.
No, but when you come over with Emilio Pagan, you're automatically the loser of the trade. Obviously, it was Paddock and Pagan for Taylor Rogers, which now Rogers has bounced around a little bit. Pagan still sucks, but I do like Chris Paddock as a piece in our rotation. I think, like you said, it could be a nice 3-5 guy. Depends on how the rest of the rotation shakes out. I guess we'll move into the big trade now. Twins acquire Pablo Lopez, Jorge Salas, and Byron Chirino from Miami in exchange for Luis Arias. I know lots of people are upset about this trade. Some people are happy. What camp do you fall in there, Jack?
I'm done with the Twins. This fucking pissed me off because I understand the point to improve pitching, but why do you get rid of your best player? Your best overall player, consistency-wise, why would you get rid of him for a guy you probably could go the level of Pablo Lopez? You could probably go sign free agency. What's the point of trading your best guy for a couple prospects in this guy who was kind of mid towards the end of the year and was only good the first half? They pretty much went off his first half stats and production. I understand the point of the trade in aspects of baseball, but as a fan, it's really upsetting because he's definitely one of the guys you go to the ballpark to watch. You turn the TV on to watch, and now we have to turn the TV on to watch Pablo Lopez every 5 days instead of watching Luis Arias every day. So that's kind of what upsets me. But I can understand the aspects of it, but at the same time, I still think there was other ways to go about this.
I do see where you are coming from. Luis Arias, fan favorite, Gold Glove finalist last year, All-Star. But I think everybody's at the point with the Twins that no matter what the front office does, it's going to be a loss because we've been wanting pitching forever. We didn't get one in a top pitcher in free agency, and they saw this as the next best thing. And I'm on board for it because people were saying that Luis Arias, his ceiling, his trade value will never be higher than what it was. And we got back a very solid pitcher. Like, I see him being our 1 or 2 this year. And then a highly touted prospect from the Marlins, and then one just kind of throw in. Like, that's a good haul for a guy. But the front office is never going to be safe until this team that they've put together wins a playoff series. If they continue
or
to...
Or a game.
I think they got to win a series for
they have to win a series. I was just making a joke.
Yeah. I get why people are upset, but it's the right move. People have been wanting pitching forever. The infield is way too crowded on the Twins. So do I wish it was Polanco instead? 100%. But it is what it is. I'm excited to see what Pablo Lopez does this year on the bump. And for his stats being down the second half of last year, it's kind of hard to maintain great stats when you're playing in the NL East on the Marlins, when you have to go up against the Mets, the Braves, the Phillies. It's not going to be good for your pitchers when you can't score runs.
So where do you think he slots in the rotation?
One or two.
Do you think he's the ace?
Yes, I think. Call me crazy, but I think the Twins' rotation is going to be actually pretty solid this year.
That's fair. I think this trade probably puts them middle of the road to be safe. I don't know if that's what they need to be a good team, but it definitely is. They need improvement because they were horrible last year.
I think we have Pablo is probably our one, and then I think it would probably be either Sonny Gray.
Definitely Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan is
or Kenta.
No, Joe Ryan is not going to fall that far in the rotation after last year. There's
but
no
I
way.
Think you give him, I don't know, I think he could slot in a nice three this year, give him more time in the back, and then he'll move up later.
But he was already the ace last year, and he was just fine.
Well, yeah, because our team was garbage.
Yeah, but so why can't he be the two then?
Because Kenta was out, and Kenta.
But we
was
don't
our,
know what we have in Kenta, so why would you put the pressure on Kenta to be either the ace?
Because Kenta's
or the
a
two.
Veteran player; he's been there before. He's been to a World Series.
Okay.
He knows
what
he's doing.
That's fair. Other aspects. Do you think they did this trade just because of the trade value of Luis, or they didn't want to pay him? Because I don't understand the point if you're not wanting to pay him. Because I feel like he doesn't have that much value to be paid, because guys in the MLB are paid to hit the ball over the fence and drive in runs. And Luis doesn't do that as much because he hits leadoff and he doesn't have that much power. So do you think that was the reason why? Because they didn't want to pay him, or just because of his trade value?
I think it was probably both, and the fact that we got so many infielders right now, some in the big leagues right now and some on their way up.
But no one's at the level of Luis. Slotting in Kirilov or whatever is, like, trade that fucker. Like, who gives a fuck about him? Like, just trade him away. Like, we don't
They
need
are,
him.
The Twins are too attached to their prospects, yes.
I know,
but
that's
also,
the problem. That's the demise of this
Kirilov
team.
Kirilov is the movement of the MLB where it's three true outcome type of dude.
And that's the demise of the Twins, is they care way too much about their prospects and winning AAA championships and AA championships instead of MLB World Series. That's their problem. You don't make money in the minors. Minors is a losing organization. You have to build up your minor league to where you can actually sustain a big league team. And all they do is build up a minor league team to not even sustain a big league team. It's like, I don't understand how this front office is still here, because they've proven day in and day out, year in and year out, that they cannot build a team or sustain a team that is good. Like, you have that one year where we win the division, you get swept, and our team went to dog shit the next year. They have no sustainability. They're so fucking, they're just pussies. They won't spend any money. Like, good for you, you signed Correa, but go get someone else on top of that too. Like, you're talking about trading Kepler, on the other hand, when there's no need to trade Kepler. He's not making that much money. And they're too scared, because, and the thing is you trade a guy like Luis now, you already have problems getting people in the ballpark. Now what are you going to do? You signed Correa, but you just traded a fan favorite. Like, you expect to get people in the ballpark? No, you're not going to get people in the ballpark anymore. Just as much as you were before. So I understand the whole point of trading for pitching and because his trade value is high, but you want to get the fans involved. This is not what is going to get the fans involved. They want to see the players they like play baseball. And I don't think this trade is really going to put us over the top to be an even better team than it was, because I think this pitching staff just needed to get healthier more than anything to improve the team. But also the bullpen is just a disaster still, too. So that definitely could be the demise of the team still. But I don't think the starting rotation needed an upgrade like Pablo Lopez. It needed someone like a Carlos Rodon or something like that to make a big improvement. I think Pablo Lopez is a just a minimalistic improvement at the most, or just it's pretty much a wash.
Yes. Like I said, Pablo Lopez, definitely the second option. I know we were in talks with Rodon and stuff like that. But getting back to your point about the prospects, we're starting to see those, our prospects are starting to pay off. Like, our most recent one is Miranda. We got Buxton on. He's shown MVP flashes. It's just that he can't stay healthy. And then you got Joan Duran, who has been lights out in our bullpen. So you need to hang on to those key guys. Like, I don't get why we don't trade more of our prospects, but the key guys are starting to really help out the Twins this year, or they're going to this year.
Yeah, no, I understand key guys. Like, that's different. But, I mean, some of those guys aren't even prospects anymore. They're major leaguers.
And now they are. They were prospects.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you I understand the whole point of, like, they're paying off and stuff. You still have to bring in people outside the organization to build up a team. You can't just rely on the farm system.
No, not at all.
You can't. You just can't. It's fucking literally not possible. And that's why there's all these other teams. Like, the Twins have been a middle-of-the-road team for a while, and they refuse to go down to the level of the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, and those teams, because they'll never make it anywhere. Those teams are lost. Like, those and the A's, those teams are they're going to be nowhere to be found in 15 years, because they're just loser franchises, and the way their front office works, they're just set up for losing, and they're okay with that. I mean, fine to be them, but I mean, I don't know what the Twins, what their organization, what they want to do. I mean, it seems like they kind of want to win, but it seems like they don't, because they're too pussy to spend money. But I mean, they're a middle of the pack team, and sometimes they show flashes of being a great team and looks like they could contend for a pennant. But in other years, like last year, they suck mega fucking ass. So it's like, I don't know. It's just hard to, like, you don't even know what to expect going into a fucking year. And that's why I just fucking can't stand watching them, because there's no consistency of this team. There's no like plan or like goal with this team. Like, you don't even know what to expect for the team, because there's no goals set by this organization. It's just, let's see what this team does. And that's what happens. That's whatever the result is. All right, cool. Like, that's what this organization is. And something needs to change, because you have to have goals with a team. Like, there's teams that are tanking. There's teams that are just like, okay, we're going to build up our farm system, be young. The Twins are just like in the middle. Like, what are we going to do? Like, we're so worried about our farm system, but then we don't want to spend money. Like, I don't get it. Like, you got to be goal oriented, and this team is just not. I don't know. I don't know if you feel that way, Brandon, but that's kind of.
Well, I feel like every team is goal oriented.
The Twins aren't. They don't have any goals. There's no goal with their team.
I think it's kind of like when you do March to October in MLB. Like, the Twins, they're in like that long shots range to.
But that's not a goal. That's literally just sneaking in.
Their goal is to make the playoffs.
That's not a goal. That's not a goal. That's fucking trash.
Because that would be finishing better than they did last year.
Either
that'd be not finishing last in your division.
But the thing is, that's such a shitty goal. It's the shittiest goal in sports. Oh, let's just make the playoffs. Who cares if we lose?
I think the number one pick is a shittier goal.
I'd rather have the number one pick than just make the playoffs and get swept. That's fucking lame. Like, just making the playoffs is by far one of the worst goals in sports. You either are not in a position to win, or you put yourself in a position to win. These teams that are just like, we'll try. Just like, let's see what it goes. We'll try to make the playoffs. Those teams go nowhere. And that's what the Twins are. They go nowhere. It's just a shitty goal. Their team, unless something drastically changes, it's going to be the same thing over and over again. And that's why I don't tune in to watch. That's why I don't spend my money on you, because you produce the same thing every year, or even worse. There's nothing new. And that's until there's something changes, you don't have to get my money or my time, because I actually enjoy it when I don't give you my time.
Man, I'm sure they're going to miss both of those things.
I mean, they miss it from a ton of people, because they can't get people in the ballpark and they can't get people to watch on TV. So, I mean, I'm not the only one here that feels the same way. I'm definitely in some of the majority here. You could see it every week, every fucking week with games. They filled like less than half the stadium. I don't know what viewership is because I don't pay attention to that, but you could just see it. You watch a game and the stadium is half filled and tickets aren't expensive. They're super fucking cheap and they can't even get people to go. It's just a fucking shitty organization. When the Timberwolves finally get transitioned to A-Rod and them, they will be easily by far the worst organization in professional sports in Minnesota. By far.
We'll have to see. We got one more trade. Twins acquire Michael A. Taylor from the Kansas City Royals for left-handed pitcher Evan Sisk and right-handed pitcher Steven Cruz. Pretty sure those are both lower tier prospects.
Cool. I don't care.
Yeah, this is just Buxton insurance so that we don't have to move Royce Lewis or Nick Gordon to center field in case Buxton gets hurt. That's all it is. All right, sweet.
Championship time, Brandon. Talk about a good sport. Championship Sunday. Starting off, 49ers at the Eagles. I think this is the matchup everyone wanted to see. By far the two best teams talent-wise all over the field. Very intriguing matchup, Brandon. What do you think? Going just like brief thoughts so far or just going into it.
This playoffs like has been kind of boring from a seeding perspective because it's most of the teams you expect to make it besides the Bills. But this is the one versus two.
Well, and the games haven't been great. Like divisional round, that was definitely underwhelming for playoff football.
Yeah.
That was very underwhelming, but yeah, go ahead.
This should be a good matchup. It's going to be Brock Purdy's first real test, I think. Like I think last week it was like a little bit of a test, but he was also at home. The Cowboys, they were so inconsistent that he can't really, like they played, the defense played good for the Cowboys, but not.
Oh, I think he was tested. They made it tough on him, but they got the running game going one drive, and then, yeah, that was pretty much it. Once they got the running game going one drive, the Cowboys really couldn't stop it, but I definitely think that he definitely had his toughest game for sure, obviously, but I definitely think he was tested, and I honestly think that might help, though. I think that might help him going into this week because you got tested by the Cowboys this week. You're probably going to face what I would assume a lot of people would think is a better defense than the Cowboys.
Oh,
so
for sure.
I think that's a better test. The only problem is for me is how is he going to handle the link?
Yeah.
The link is something else. And this will just leave me in with like Philly. Philly fans are fucking crazy. But what I don't understand what it is about Philly, why they just get a pass for doing the stupidest fucking shit ever. Like, they just do stupid ass shit, and they're like, and people are just like, oh, that's Philly. Like, that's Philly for you.
Because it's Philly.
But that's so fucking lame. Like, why do we just excuse people for doing the stupidest shit ever?
Because that's Philly.
It just pisses me off that we just, like, let people be fucking morons and idiots and just being fucking lunatics to society.
If you were an Eagles fan, you'd be the exact same way.
I mean, I didn't grow up there, but just an outside perspective, I just hate that we just, like, give them a pass to fucking act like absolute lunatics.
Why is Bill's Mafia okay? They jump through tables. That's pretty weird.
But I'm that's weird, but I don't think they're as crazy and, like, psychotic as Eagles fans. Like, Eagles fans will, like, do fucked up shit to other people. They'll say some fucked up shit. Bill's Mafia just likes to party. That's way different than Eagles fans who are, like, willing to go at you personally, constantly. Like, I understand that happens in other sports, but Philly, it's just, like, on a different level. You see it with, like, clips of, like, that one time where it was a snow game and there's opposing fans getting pelted with snowballs and, oh, that's Philly for you.
Yeah, why is Philly, like, so angry all the time? It's weird.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why did they just get a pass for just being shitty people? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Like, I thought it's the city of brotherly love. Doesn't come across that way when it comes to sports because they are ruthless. They don't give a fuck.
It is Philly, though.
I guess. I mean, it's just Philly. Like, what can I say? It's just Philly.
Look at that. The whole entire stance just changed.
Well, I'm just fucking just going along with what people say. I think it's stupid. That's like, I'm just like, oh, that's Philly for you. Like, that's, I'm just going along with it. I think it's fucking stupid. Like, I actually, like, just hate it. That it just pisses me off. That it's one thing. That's like the thing with Philly that pisses me off. It's not even like about the sports team. It's just the people. The people of Philly, when it comes to sports, just piss me off to the nth degree.
You're still pissed off about 38-7, aren't you?
Well, I mean, it got brought up the last week because it was the fifth year anniversary. But I mean, it didn't really. I was like, oh fuck, that sucks. But I mean, at the same time, I was just like, whatever. I mean, yeah, it sucks. But I've always thought this about Philly fans. I've just like seen shit. I'm like, what the fuck? And I mean, obviously, it doesn't help with that the experience of getting shit on in an NFC title game. So hopefully, as a sympathetic person I am, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Hopefully the 49ers don't get absolutely embarrassed like we did the last time the Eagles hosted an NFC championship game at the Link, because I know what they would have to go through. And I don't want them to go through that because I fucking hate Philly and I'm a 49ers fan this Sunday. And I hope Brock rocks out like he's got his cock out.
Big yeah, cock Eagles. Brock. Eagles are 1-0 when they advance the NFC Championship game after beating the previous team 38-7. So maybe that trend continues this week. But yeah, go 49ers.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the 49ers have the advantage talent wise. It just all depends on how Brock Purdy plays. Yeah. I think that's like, I know it's stupid.
I think it's a running game is what's going to decide it.
But that also too, like, I think that's, I agree with you. I think that there's a chance that this game, like, I know it's like the most cliche thing to say in football, but I think it might just come down to the trenches. Whoever wins the line of scrimmage in this game will probably win the game, because these are probably the top two defensive lines in the game and probably the top two offensive lines. So you're going up against the best of the best when it comes to the thing, both offensive, defensive lines. And then I would say, like, I mean, maybe a little bit to the Eagles, but I would say that wide receiver is comparable. Tight ends, not as much. So maybe a little lopsided to the Eagles for wide receiver. And then you got the little lopsided for the 49ers at a tight end. Then you got 49ers having more advantage at running back. But then the Eagles have more advantage at quarterback. So, I mean, I feel like it's a very even test here.
That's why it's basically a pick 'em. Like home field advantage spread.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because it's two for home field advantage now. I'm saying it's two. Because it used to be. So, like, I don't know. I'm just going to get into this later. But the way it used to be is but, like, over the years it's changed. It's based off, like, trends and stuff. It used to be about three. For home field, that you would the home team would automatically get 3 points for the spread. Now it's about two. So, yeah, like you said, basically a pick 'em. So realistically, the Eagles are favored by 0.5, but because they're at home, they have a 2.5 point favorite.
Yep.
No, I mean, on paper, like, these games should be amazing, and like I think like two outcomes in this game. Or not two, I think.
The 49ers win or the Eagles win?
Well, no. Okay, thanks. I don't think the 49ers can kill the Eagles in this game. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think the Eagles have the ability to do that, but I don't think the 49ers do. Or obviously it's a close game. Like, I don't think the 49ers have the ability within this game to kill them, just because their defense would have to play absolutely lights out. And the 40 and Brock Purdy would have to play absolutely freaking amazing. But we haven't really seen a team I mean, I guess the Saints or whatever. But, like, we haven't seen a team really stop this Eagles defense or offense, I mean. And, I mean, it's a very challenging offense to face because you got Jalen Hurts being able to run the ball, read option and stuff. But their passing game is so dynamic with just the weapons they have. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if that top-ranked defense in the 49ers is going to be able to stop them. Anything else in this game, Brian?
No. I'm hoping the 49ers win, but it's,
yeah.
I'm gonna pull you. It's a little too close to call.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I mean, I literally don't think I couldn't pick a winner for this game because, like you said, I think it's going to be really close, and basically it's pick 'em. Moving to the AFC title game, rematch of last year's AFC title game, we got the Bengals at the Chiefs. Big storyline, obviously, here, Brandon. Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain. What do you think that entails? Do you think that he's just going to come out and he's going to be just fine? Or, obviously he's not going to be just fine, but do you think it's going to be able to limit him that much? Or do you think he's just going to be like, he's just going to ball out because it's the AFC title game?
I think that, I don't remember who said it. It might have been Chris Collinsworth, but he said that he's going to become the best pocket passer in the league. Patrick Mahomes is this week.
Yeah. Let's just say this. I'm glad that NBC doesn't get to call this game, so I don't have to listen to Chris Collinsworth talk about Patrick Mahomes for 3 hours, because that Jaguars game was absolutely miserable to listen to.
But I think Mahomes isn't going to get to roll outside the pocket that much. If Cincinnati's defensive line gets through, it's going to be game over for the Chiefs. If they get constant pressure on him, I think Mahomes is going to revert. He could revert back to 2021 Patrick Mahomes, start of the
early
year.
Early season. Yeah.
Early season where he was just completely awful trying to make superhero plays. I think the biggest battle this week is going to be Chiefs offensive line versus Bengals defensive line. And then also see who Eli Apple is covering to see if he can lock him down or if he's going to get toasted again.
I mean, I'm not. The Chiefs receivers don't scare me against literally anyone on the Bengals. But I think one thing for the Chiefs, so I think they have to lean on the ground game to start. I think that they have to test that out. Like, this game, you can't just have Patrick Mahomes drop back 50 times. I mean, that's going without saying, but I think that's a game plan that they can't afford to make. But I feel like the Bengals, I don't know if they're going to do what they did last year where they rushed three and then had a spy, because I don't know if they're going to need to, because Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be so immobile where he can't get out of the pocket and scramble like he wants to. Probably will rush four to start, feel it out, and if they dice him up a little bit, maybe they'll probably go to what they did against the Bills with Josh Allen. You see them rush three, and they even got pressure with three on Josh Allen to drop eight. Makes it so that he can't scramble like he wants to. But I think Lou Anarumo is I think after this year, after the season when D'Amico Ryans most likely gets a job, easily the best defensive coordinator in football. The way he is able to adjust in game is some of the best I've ever seen with defenses, because you saw it last year in the AFC title game, the way they made a switch going into halftime and into the second half, completely shutting down the Chiefs offense. It's hard for me to see that, like, the Bengals, like, I don't know what you throw at them, because they can beat you in so many different ways. I don't think there's a corner that can guard them. Any of their receivers, Brandon? Do you think they have one on their team that can guard them? Because I don't.
Is L'Jarius Sneed healthy?
Yeah, but L'Jarius Sneed is not that good.
He had a good card in Madden last year, I think.
He's the okay. Wow, great insight there. What the fuck?
No, I think the Bengals receivers are running all over the field this game.
Yeah, I mean,
Samaje Perine for those nice little screen passes and
see and the thing,
angle routes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this sounds crazy, but obviously the Bengals, their offensive line is banged up. There's a chance that Jonah Williams and Alex Kappa come back this week, but do you sit them this week and try to save them for the Super Bowl if you have confidence enough in your offensive line that you have now to beat the Chiefs?
Maybe. It depends on how Chris Jones does in the first half.
Well, Chris Jones isn't going to do shit because he just sucks in the playoffs, so...
Yeah, it's,
he's literally don't have like
a playoff sack yet to, like, in his entire career. Is that what it is?
It's like 14 career playoff games and he has no sacks.
That's
and he has like his playoff stats are actually awful. He has like 3 quarterback hits or something like that, and like yeah, it's fucking awful. He is, I mean, he's a great player, but playoffs he just sucks, I guess. But Christian I mean, he Jones. Has to play it. He has to play amazing, I think, for them to have a chance because, I mean, if the Bengals can run the ball like they did last week, I think this is going to be probably a cakewalk. Because
yeah, Bengals are favored.
Okay, really? Thanks. No, because, I mean, the Chiefs, their strength in their offense or their defense is definitely being able to get pressure. And, I mean, they're a pretty solid run defense. Nick Bolton, really good run-stopping linebacker. But if they're able to run the ball, even with the backup offensive line, I think that's going to make the – if they have to pass the ball, it's definitely going to be a challenge. But if they can run the ball and pass the ball at the same time pretty well, I think this is going to be a pretty – I mean, it could probably be a boring game because I think the Bengals have the ability to just win this game pretty easily.
I don't know how much stock to put into Arrowhead, though, because that place gets loud and – Bengals offensive line isn't great right now. I know their center is.
I'm putting absolutely zero stock into Arrowhead. Absolutely zero. Because I think they're going to be quiet because it's going to be the Bengals are going to shut them up real quick. God, this is what I'm talking about right now. I feel so good about the Bengals this week because of Patrick Mahomes that I just don't want to jinx them. Like I fucking don't. I don't want to do it.
Why not?
Because I'm scared. Because I just, oh my god. I mean, I don't know. I just don't want to do it. I'm scared that I'm gonna jinx them, and then Patrick Mahomes is gonna go to the Super Bowl. Hopefully this game is as good as the other one's gonna be. Because I think the other one's gonna be great. But this one,
I'm gonna be able to watch this game more.
Why? Why can't you watch the other one more?
Because I'm going to the Iowa basketball game at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, my God. On Championship Sunday?
They're taking on a currently ranked Rutgers team. So, yes.
Oh, my God. That's so tragic. I'd rather
see the Chiefs-Bengals anyways.
That is so tragic. That is so tragic.
Not really.
I think that is.
Get to see possible Wooden Award finalist in Chris Murray. It's gonna be a good time. Go with my buddy John.
How many Wooden Award finalists are there?
I think they start at like 25 and they work their way down.
Oh, I mean, I was gonna say, isn't like Zach Edey gonna win the Player of the Year this year?
Oh, yeah, he very well could. He's doing amazing, but that's not what we're talking about.
No, but yeah, this Championship Sunday storylines are great. Everything is lining up to be a great Championship Sunday, and let's hope. And it doesn't suck like divisional round playoffs because the best game was probably the Cowboys and the 49ers, and that wasn't great and that wasn't even very good. So let's hope and pray that we get something like last year, because last year both games were so entertaining. But yeah, ready to get into Book It with Beef, Brandon?
I am.
All right, Brandon, why don't you tell us about what you did last week?
I set some actually good certified beef history. First ever perfect Book It with Beef through both years that we've been doing this. 5-0, Cincinnati plus 4. Giants, Philly under 40.5. George Kittle 51.5 over receiving yards in the bank. Gabe Davis under 56.5. I told you he was due for a bad game, and George Kittle was due for a good game. Listen to me.
I guess your insight was great for that, obviously. Yep. Even though he didn't have much yak, I will point that out. I was just
on
like,
that one
he got
ball, he had lots of yak.
I mean, not really, but I mean, fair. But I mean, it was crazy. He had 95 yards receiving, and he had like maybe 10 yards yak total.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Because
he doesn't
like you
to
said,
run after the catch that much.
I guess not. On my behalf, though, I did fucking just as normal. Solid 1-4. I did say that the Bengals and Bills game was probably going to be one of the worst. Or the worst. I mean, it probably wasn't because the Eagles-Giants game was by far the worst. But second best to that, the worst game, under 48.5. Easily hit. So, but, I mean, to expect, I obviously went 0-4 in my other picks. 1-4 last week. Just absolutely trash. Just like normal, though. I mean, I'm keeping up with my trends. I'm not trying to do anything spectacular here. I'm just trying to stay consistent, you know?
So much for winning happens in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this week. Maybe. I mean, probably not, but you never know. You just got to turn that corner. You know, there's always green grass on the other side, like they say. Except mine is dull, brown, and dead. All right. Let's get into it, Brandon. Your favorite spread this week. Same thing as last week as divisional.
Same
spread, over-under, and then two props.
I didn't like a lot of the Lions this week. I don't.
Wow, there's four lines. You didn't like them?
I don't know. I liked my player props better than that. But we're going with Bengals -1.5 at Kansas City. Feel like it's the safest with Patrick Mahomes being injured, and the Philly San Francisco game being basically a pick 'em. It's weird to see Patrick Mahomes as a playoff underdog. But obviously, because he's injured. And the Bengals have owned the Chiefs recently. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm with you there. I got the Bengals as well. -1.5. Like you said, the other game, it's the one you kind of want to stay away from. But I think this spread is obviously low, because the 2 points given to the Chiefs for home field, they'd be 3. And if this game wasn't played in Kansas City, at this would be a 5.5-point spread. So, I mean, looking at it, they're realistically a 3.5-point favorite in this game. The Bengals are, like you said, safest pick here, because you don't know what to expect of Patrick Mahomes. And if we'd have started this yesterday, or we'd done this yesterday, Brandon, it would have been a pick 'em, or the Bengals would have been underdogs, because it opened as Chiefs -1. And I was like, oh my God, no way, I'm easily picking the Bengals. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm scared of. This is what I'm scared of. I'm scared that I pick that, and I'm so scared that it's going to backfire. I'm so scared. Because I already know it's my fault. If the Bengals lose this game, it's my fault, and I will take full responsibility for it. Entire responsibility for it.
Okay, put it on the books.
Yep. All right, Brandon, your favorite over or under?
I'm guessing we're going to have the exact same spread in points here. Okay. I'm going San Francisco at Philly under 46. This, like I said, I feel like it's going to be a running game, lots of chew clock. I think it's going to be decently low scoring, but I see it being like a 17-21 type of ball game.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what your analysis, but I am going to the other game. I got Bengals Chiefs under 47. I think this game very well could be the same score as what we saw with Buffalo and Cincinnati, where they kind of controlled the game the entire game. And I mean, they don't put up a ton of points, but they put up enough points to where it's kind of a blowout, and the Chiefs really just don't do anything on offense. Now, I am saying this against Patrick Mahomes, but I don't expect him to be able to do anything in this game, because I think Lou Anarumo is just that guy, and he's so good, and he's gonna have Patrick Mahomes in a fucking fit all day. So
I'm just scared that Mahomes is gonna like pull some pixie dust out of his ass and somehow win this game.
To actually
be competent.
And you know what sucks though is that if the Bengals win this game, they're gonna get no credit at all. They're gonna get none. I think honestly they could blow out the Chiefs in this game and they will get zero credit for this win, for a win. Like they could win exactly how they beat the Bills, just absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage, everything, and I still think they would get zero credit for this game, which is sad because that's one thing I have a problem with is I understand that if a player is like hurt or injured or whatever, but if they're still willing to go out there and play, you still have to somewhat hold them up to the expectation of them, who they are as a player. Obviously, you can't do it to the full extent, but if they're willing to go out there and play, you can't just handicap the other team and not give them credit for winning. I mean, that's incredibly unfair.
Yeah.
All right, your over prop.
This, I feel, was one of the easiest decisions for Book It With Beef I've ever had to make. I know that's a bold statement because there's been some absurdly easy lines. But this man, he lives in the nightmares of the Kansas City Chiefs. It is Ja'Marr Chase over, or basically anytime touchdown score, over half a touchdown in the bank.
Great cash, homie.
Tell him to bring me my money. Yeah!
Ja'Marr Chase is going crazy against the Chiefs. He's played two games, 18 catches, 363 yards, and three touchdowns. I think things are looking good for him. I was even going to put 1.5 touchdowns over that, but I didn't. I played it a little bit safe, half a touchdown over that in the bank. Easy money.
George Kittle loves to get yards, especially after the catch.
I'm just going to go with this guy. I mean, fuck it. George Kittle, over 45.5 receiving yards in the bank.
Great cash, homie.
Tell him to bring me my money. Yeah!
Who the fuck is going to guard this guy? Who the hell is... I couldn't even name a linebacker on the Eagles. Like, that might be their weakness. I don't even know who plays linebacker for the Eagles. Unless... The only thing I'm worried about with this is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but I think George Kittle's going to match that energy that C.J. Gardner-Johnson brings, and I think it's going to be even better, and I think he's going to cook this man.
I think he did that just to spite Iowa, and now he's going to hit the under.
No, I didn't even think Iowa never crossed my mind. I'm not going to lie. Iowa didn't even cross my mind. I probably should have took the 4 receptions, probably as a safer option, but I think this line is low for Kittle. Who the fuck is going to guard this guy? CJ Gardner-Johnson, fuck that guy. He's a little pussy ass bitch. But George Kittle, I'm riding George Kittle this week.
Pause!
What?
I doubted him last week because I thought Brandon sounded like an idiot. But I'm okay. Fuck you. I'm riding with my dog George Kittle. After that interview, I never hated him, but I like him even more now. Like, he's fucking hilarious. He's got a hot girlfriend or wife. I mean, what not to like about George Kittle?
They have sunglasses business, I'm pretty sure.
The more you know, the more you know.
He owns some type of business with his wife.
Nice. All right, Brandon, your favorite player prop under.
My favorite player prop under, it's low It's pretty low, but I'm feeling confident in it. That's because this man doesn't do much besides catch the ball. Jerick McKinnon, under 21.5 rushing yards. He has rushed for more than 20 yards 7 times this year. That's, as a running back, that's pretty bad. I know Pacheco is the main starter. He is at the starter,
so that's actually not that bad. But I mean, I understand your point. My player prop under, Patrick Mahomes, under 273.5 passing yards. Since Joe Burrow came into the league and against Patrick Mahomes has never thrown above 260 passing yards in a game against the Bengals. Three matchups, even in the playoffs last year in that playoff game, still has yet to throw over 260 passing yards.
That has a lot to do with Joe Burrow.
I'm just saying, ever since he came to the league, that's kind of just like a date or whatever that I had in my head. But ever since he has faced Joe Burrow, he has not. I'm not saying it has anything Joe Burrow. I think it has a lot to do with Lou, my guy Lou. Like I said, Lou Anarumo gonna lock this man down under Patrick Mahomes' yards. All right, Brandon. Well, time for me to go 5-0. Obviously, I'm easily going to do that. Okay, well, I'm gonna going to at least get one.
Number 4 of the year.
I've had 3?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God. That's awful. Or
there's been 3 this year, and you might have only had 2.
Either way, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I'm just that guy. Fade God. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us here at Certified Beef. Catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
See you next time.